Blog Talk Radio.
We should heed at certain calls, 'cause the world, it seems, is right in this line. 'Cause there's a chance we're taking in needing our own lives. It seems we need nothing at all. I used to feel I should give away my heart. Dying there, and it shows that we are cheating instead. We are.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
I'm here.
Hello.
Okay, can you hear us, Pinky?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Pinky, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Leslie tells me that you are a graduate of Eastside High. That's in New Jersey, and I understand that it was the school of the legendary educator and disciplinarian Jill Clark. What was that like?
Yes, that was an an awesome experience, one that I did not think would be as good as it was. I was actually back in 1982. Yeah.
Wait, we got an
echo. One second. Are you on speakerphone, Pinky?
No.
Oh, there's a major echo. Okay, go ahead.
Well,
can you hear me?
Why didn't you think it? I'm here.
Well,
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay. Well, back in 1982, back in the day, I was actually terrified to go to Eastside High School, which is located in Paterson, New Jersey, because Eastside High School, from the rumors and from all of the negativity, the violence, such as, you know, students getting beat down, young ladies getting raped, there was drugs, there was also, you know, faculty and, you know, teachers getting beat up. It was horrible. And I actually cried because I did not want to go to Eastside. And we actually, that year, you know, they brought in a brand new principal, and that was Mr. Clark. And when he came to that school, we actually started the same day. He started, you know, in 1982 when the new freshman came in, and he just changed it. The school was a drastic change.
So he really did carry a bat, and he really did call himself Batman.
That's an understatement. He carried a bat. He carried a bullhorn. He walked swiftly down the hallways, and he would call you out. He was just an awesome, awesome man. And I know personally he was the father that I did not grow up with. You know, he was the father in my life because there was no father, and my mother raised 6 kids by herself, very much like a lot of my classmates. So he was a disciplinarian. He was, you know, the one who told us, guess what, you know, you have 3 strikes against you. First and foremost, you're African-American, Latino, or poor and white. You know, your second strike is that you're poor. And so, you know, being of color, then being poor, and he said, just don't let that third strike get you, you know. Your education is your way out. And so get as much as you can, and he allowed us to be able to, you know, be able to learn, because the students who were in the class being disruptive, or 5th and 6th year seniors, or students who didn't have any credits, but they were just hanging out in Eastside, he got rid of them. So, yes, he did kick out those 300 students, and we are better for it today.
How did he handle the teachers and the curriculum? I know the movie kind of gives you the impression that he had a lot of difficult time trying to change the mindsets of the teachers. And what did he do? How did he handle the teachers and the curriculum?
I think as far as with the teachers, he just really, when he came into the school, a lot of the teachers who were there, who may not have had the students' best interest at heart, because some of them, again, were on drugs, or some of them, you know, didn't have our best interest at heart, and so they weren't teaching. And Joe Clark, just like he held his students accountable, he also held his teachers accountable, and more so because he felt that, you know, these are the young minds of tomorrow, and if they are not doing their job, then he did not want them in his school. And so you were either on board or you were out the door. And so as far as the curriculum, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did you
have a question?
Yeah.
As far as the curriculum. Right. As far as the curriculum, there were a lot of teachers who were there, who weren't bad seeds, and there were teachers who wanted to teach, who were qualified to teach, but they had students who were disruptive, who were in the classroom and couldn't get anything done. So once Mr. Clark got those bad apples out of the school, then learning could, you know, we could learn. And so he took the curriculum and took what they were striving to teach us, and then we were able to be taught because the disruptions were lessened. Teachers who didn't, you know, who weren't necessarily qualified to teach were taken out of the school, but those teachers, and more so, a lot of the teachers were qualified, and then they had an opportunity to teach. So he took a major institution, you know, high school, and he turned it into an educational environment where students could go to school and not have to worry about getting beat up, or, you know, not have to worry about smoking and marijuana and drugs, or having to, you know, have your chain or your gold chain stolen, or your sneakers stolen, or your clothes stolen, or just, you know, he just really, really changed that school. He really did.
Okay, you mentioned that some of the teachers were on drugs too, and that makes me think about that whole era of the 80s, which I like to call the crack cocaine era in my own
city,
exactly. Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teachers were, you know, selling not selling them, but smoking drugs.
They got caught up. They definitely got caught up.
And so that was also a reality at your school. How did the parents respond to Joe Clark? Because, again, the impression that in the beginning he had a hard time dealing with the parents, particularly around the issue of the sports players and the basketball players.
Right, and I think that, you know, Joe Clark, from my experience, there were some parents who did not necessarily want to go along because some of their kids were the ones who were being disruptive, but there were more parents who were for him than against him. And if you remember also from the movie, I guess the scene that they had in the cafeteria where he addressed the parents and he, you know, gave him, you know, he was almost as if he was preaching. And one of the strategies that Mr. Clark did utilize is that not only did he, you know, was he available for students inside, you know, the school, you know, being there early as 6 o'clock in the morning and then staying at the school until 6 p.m. So he was always available before and after school. But even on Sunday, Mr. Clark would go visit the different churches in town. And, you know, he became a part of the community. And so, you know, the parents were able to reach out and touch him, and he was able to let the parents know that he's there for your child. I'm here to support your child. I'll go to the fire for your child, but I need your support. And so he was able to get that community support.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, you know, we rarely, with those kind of Joe Clark-like situations, we rarely get the outcome of what he did for the students went on to college and make a life for themselves, and you're one of them.
Right, and actually, I am currently here in South Dakota, a long way from Paterson, New Jersey, and I'm at the University of South Dakota as an assistant dean of students. And prior to being here, I was at Georgia State University, where I have been working on my PhD for the past 6 or 7 years. And within 60 days, it will be basically Dr. Pinky, because I will be defending my dissertation. And I am actually writing my dissertation on Joe Clark. And the students at Joe, you know, that attended Eastside High School. So the story that you were just speaking of, and not being able to hear the stories, you know, or the success stories, or even some of the failures of the students who did attend Eastside High School, that is what my dissertation is about. And so basically I'm asking the students, you know, their thoughts and their feelings about Joe Clark's, his strategies, his methods, his leadership style, how he treated teachers, how did he treat the parents, everything. And it's amazing the stories that I've been told, and it's just amazing, because we have the students who The movie was basically about our graduating class, the students of class of 1986, because we came in with him when he was the brand new principal in 82, and we graduated in 86. And a lot of our classmates and even students, you know, who were there during his tenure have, you know, we have lawyers, we have doctors, we have CEOs, we have people who are in the technology area who are doing wonderful things. We still have, you know, single moms. We have people who are just doing their due diligence, striving to be good citizens of this world. You know, it's not all about, you know, finances, as long as they're taking care of their children and doing what they have to do. But a lot of, I would say 100% of the students that I did interview, they owe a lot of that, and they've said that they owe a lot of that to Joe Clark. And I've even interviewed students who did not care for Joe Clark. And one of them, and of course I can't give you their names, but, you know, what he did say, he didn't care for how Joe Clark did things, and he didn't care, you know, his dogma, you know, because he was very dogmatic in his approach sometimes. The one thing he did say he did thank him for was saving his life. So regardless of the fact that you may not have liked this man in the way he did things, but he saved your life. And so it's just amazing. So my dissertation, I believe, will turn into not only one book. It'll be a couple of books, and prayerfully it'll be a movie. Because, you know, from Lean On Me being put out in 1989, it's like now we've all grown up. What are we doing? So, you know, prayerfully someone will, you know, read the book and then say, you know what, this is definitely worth putting out a movie about. So. Yeah.
So what do you think about the education in inner cities today? Are we in need of another Joe Clark? What do you think about what's going on in inner cities today, where there's a lot of discontentment and disenchantment among high school educators and K-12 in general educators today? What do you think about that?
I think Joe Clark was good for that era, because right now, I don't know. I think as far as, like, with his methods, his strategies that he used would be good. However, our students today will be quick to shoot you, you know, so you just have to be very, very careful, you know. But I honestly believe there are schools and there are some principals who are out there who are very strict with discipline, and, you know, they encourage students, but they hold students accountable for their actions. So it can be done. I don't know if it could be done like it was back in the 80s with Joe Clark, but Joe Clark was the man during that time. And we needed someone like that who would stand up against, you know, the Board of Education and who didn't mind. Well, I can't say didn't mind, because he sacrificed a lot with his, you know, sacrificing his family. You know, he went through a lot with Patterson and striving to be there and be available for his kids. And, you know, they kind of just didn't do him right. He got, you know, they used him, and then they abused him at the end. At least that's my opinion. So.
Well, I think I read somewhere that they paid him to leave. Is that true?
I don't know if that is true, but I know he did leave. Let me just say that. I wouldn't know if they paid him or anything like that. But you never know. I don't know. I don't know if they paid him to leave. But I know currently he is in Gainesville, Florida. He is retired and doing well. He actually sent me a letter the other day because he was sick, and so that's why we are in the process of planning to honor him, because we want to give him his flowers while he's here. We want to honor him and just tell him how awesome, you know, he has been in our lives, and I know personally that he's had a great impact on my life, and so that's why I'm striving to organize this event that will be called Honoring Joe Clark. On Saturday, September 25th, it will be held in Lake City, Florida at the Holiday Inn at 5 p.m. So for those of you, know, students who are out there who are listening, please, please, please give me a call if you can. Can I give out my number?
Sure, give out a phone number. Sure, of course.
Okay. Please give me a call at 605-677-7260. Again, 605-677-7260, because we are going to honor the man who, you know, thought it not robbery to take out the time of his life and to put, you know, a lot into our lives. So, yeah.
What did he do after, if you know, what did he do after he left the high school?
Well, I know after he left the high school, he was, if I'm not mistaken, working at one of the facilities for young boys. It's not a jail, but I can't think of the other word of what you would call it. But it was almost like a detention center for young boys, and that's what he did after the fact. And then after that, I believe he went on to retire. Actually, he went on the lecture circuit, because I know he was out there, you know, preaching and teaching about, you know, his experiences, and you know, in Patterson and at Eastside. And so then after that, I know he went on to Florida, and yeah, I think he deserved a rest. So yeah. And one of the things I think that I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you look at the movie, or that's what people would most likely remember, it's from the Lean On Me movie. And a lot of the things that people saw in the movie, although, you know, they did have to, you know, extend some things because it is, or glamorize some things because it is, you know, TV or, you know, the movie. If you look at, you know, if you remember the young lady, the actress who played Kanisha, one of the students that I interviewed for my dissertation, basically her story is Kanisha's story. And that student, he did go to the projects. He did help her mom, and you know, find a job. And actually, Kanisha, the young lady who played in the movie, she did end up having the baby. And her baby is now out, you know, doing awesome things and singing gospel music for Christ. And so it's just amazing. Amazing from the stories that students have told me. And I know personally he helped me financially, helped with my mom financially, because I was one of the students who was one of the first students to wear the uniform, and my family didn't have the finances in order to do that, and he did it. He paid for the uniform and everything. So, you know, and that was out of his pocket. And so, you know, he was just available to us, and we didn't have anybody. So it was awesome.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question about my producer, Leslie. She was actually also a classmate of yours, as you know, and she talked about Joe Clark's PA announcements and his old issue with
Conflict
Resolution. Do you remember that?
Yes. and not only that, Mr. Clark would give us the word of the day. You know, he would give us the word of the day. A big word. He would use words that had three and four syllables and five syllables. Like, okay, what does that mean? He would give us the word of the day, give us the definition. He would use it in a sentence, and then throughout the day, you had to know the word of the day. And if he called you on that bullhorn, Pinky, come here. You know, what's the word of the day? What's the definition for it? It's like, and if you didn't know it, you would get detention. And not only that, one of the main Go ahead, I'm sorry. What are you going to say?
One of the main things.
Oh, well, one of the main things that I think that I was going to say, one of the most important things I think that he did was to really help us with our spirit, our school spirit. And one of those things was using the alma mater. If you talk to any student who attended Eastside High School, they can stop at a – it doesn't matter where they are, stop dead in their tracks, and they can sing the alma mater. And we would sing that alma mater if we lost the football game, if we won the football game, if we, you know, the basketball game. It just really unified us. It just truly did. And then not only did we have to know it in English, we had to learn it in Spanish too. So, it was amazing. And then some of the other strategies he used, like there was a lot of graffiti on the walls when we were at Eastside. And if you see the movie and you remember all the graffiti that was on the wall, he had a lot of the students who at that time they were taggers where, you know, take their spray paint and they would have to tag their name on things. And basically what he did, he took that activity that they did, and he turned it into something positive. He said, instead of just tagging your name on something, you know, do something nice for the building, do a mural. And so they were able to, if you look in the movie too, if you remember, there's a beautiful mural that's on the wall. And so those students, they took pride. They started to really take pride in attending Eastside. Another thing that he did that I thought was really awesome is that during that time, the five percenter nation, the nation of of Islam, a lot of the students became involved with being a five percenter, and they wanted to be called gods and be called a certain name. And what Mr. Clark said to them, well, if you can learn these, the degrees and learn the alphabet and learn all of these great things that's in this, this five percenter nation, then you can, learn your lessons in your books. So if you do well in your studies, I will call you by your five percenter name. So he used things like that to encourage students to do better. And it was just amazing. And a lot of the students, those 300 out of those 300 students that were kicked out, a lot of them were able to come back and, come back and do well. And so, I'm married to one who, was kicked out, and now he's back. He got back in Eastside and doing very well for himself. So, he just did an awesome thing.
What is the status of the school today?
Well, that's a whole nother story. The school today is not, it's almost back to where it used to be. And unfortunately, because you have, the drug activity that's around, and then in Patterson itself, it's they've had a lot of killings lately, and it's just not good. It's not good at all. It's not good at all. I know they lowered the amount of students who were there, but, and I know that they are really striving to do some really good things, but it's the element. You have the drug element there, you have the violence that's there, and it's unfortunate. And I know in Patterson they just have, a new regime for, the political offices and the new mayor, and so I'm hoping and praying that they can, do some phenomenal things and change Patterson, because it needs some help. It really does.
Yeah, there was another movie that was situated in Patterson. I believe that movie, The Hurricane.
With Denzel Washington,
Yeah, so I know it's a pretty tough city. I remember living up in that area of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And it being pretty tough. I remember my sister dated a guy there, and she was always afraid to go to Patterson. So where is... Yeah, it was very tough. So tell us a little bit more. We don't have a lot of time. Tell us a little bit more about how people can attend the dinner, the fundraiser.
Well, it's an honoring event for us to honor Joe Clark. And as I said, it will be September 25th in Lake City, Florida. They can call it the Holiday Inn. They can call it the Holiday Inn. They can give me a call, and I can definitely give, or they can go to my Facebook page, and it's Pinky Miller or Pinky Selvin Miller, or just look up Pinky, and I should pop up on Facebook, and all of the information is there. But they can also give me a call at 605-677-7260, or they can email me at pinky.miller@usd.edu.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pinky, for joining us today. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I never thought I'd feel this way, and as far